what number does this look like?
11.
11. Genesis chapter 11. So you're ready. Let's start over. Here we go. Before the flood.
Before the
flood.
The flood.
The scattering of the people.
Scattering of the people.
The four patriarchs.
Four patriarchs.
Look at your fingers like this. Repeat after me. Abraham,
Isaac,
Jacob, and Joseph. Did you all know that?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. So the four patriarchs. The four patriarchs.
The four patriarchs.
The Exodus from Egypt. Oh, that was perfect. Do it again. The Exodus.
No, 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 no.
Repeat after me. The Exodus from Egypt.
The Exodus from Egypt.
The wilderness wandering. Divided kingdoms?
Divided kingdoms.
Judah alone?
Judah alone.
Captivity?
Captivity.
All right, turn around, turn around. No, 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 turn around. Stay there, stay there. Here we go. And return and rebuild?
Return and rebuild.
Hard. Some of you are not doing it. You have to put a four up on your lips. Four. The life of Christ.
The early church.
That's a C. Make a C with your hand. This is the rock. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. So say, on this rock, I'll build my church.
I'll build my church.
Good. And the letter to the Christian. Very good. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His. The mountains are His. The seas are His. Can't be worth two. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The listen. In the beginning God made the sea, and the forest filled with trees, and the mountains up so high. At the top they placed us all on. Some kids think they're way too cool for this.
Did my PowerPoint come through? It's enormous.
Hi, everybody. We're going to start with the Young Men's Devotional, and I've got two sermons for tonight. Yes. Yes. Good. Pew Packers started tonight. Thanks, parents and everybody else involved. Part of my lesson is going to be a kids' sermon, so I would like to do the kids' portion first. We're going to switch it up just a touch. Can you lead and sing it tonight again? So I'm going to do the kids' portion of the sermon first and then disperse the kids from there. So we'll do the young men's devotional. And then I've got a couple things I want to say to the children with everybody. And then we'll get into our worship period. Is that okay? All right. I like that flexibility. I appreciate it very much. So, Ellis. Oh, come on up here. Sorry to say your name out loud. Come on, big guy.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
I'll be reading Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end.
I'll be singing 15, step by step. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will sing, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will follow you all of my ways, and step by step you'll lead. Follow you all of my days.
We will be singing, We Shall Assemble. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the
good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God loves himself. I love him so.
Announcements. Go ahead and do the announcements while I get the microphone on, and then I'll leave the young men's lesson. There's Justin Good.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday evening worship service. Thank you to the young men, and thank you, church, for your patience in allowing these young men to prepare themselves to lead us in worship down the line. Please remember all of the sick and the shut-ins, any of those who have lost loved ones, in your prayers. The church office will be open Monday through Thursday from 8 to 4 p.m. And if you'd like to meet with Austin or John, please call the office to set up a day and time for that. bus drivers and riders, if you're interested in driving the church bus or if you need to be picked up or ride the bus, you can see Jamie Medley or sign the sign-up sheet. Ladies are invited for a get-together on Friday, December the 3rd at 6 p.m. here in the Fellowship Hall. There is a flyer in your mailbox with more information on that. Also, Sunday, December the 12th, following evening services, there'll be a church-wide Christmas get-together. So more details will come on that later. Also, the Christmas blessings, there are still some that are on the table in the back. If you'd like to help with that, you can, any type of gifts, unwrapped gifts or monetary donations, totally up to you. But we do have some needs still available for that, too. We're glad you're here. Thank you so much to all of our regular members and also those of you that are visiting. And if you are visiting, we would love for you to fill out an attendance card so we can have record of your attendance and also be able to make contact with you. So thank you for being here with us tonight. At this time, we'll continue with our worship.
So this is something I try and do once a month. I want to teach part of my sermon being a kid's sermon specifically for them. Clearly, Jesus said, become like these. And so we're going to talk about a couple of things that I think everybody needs to know about. First off, who has ever seen this game before? You know, the icebreaker game? You have a bunch of those white blocks, and you take the little hammer, and you tap, 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 tap. Okay, what if I grab the hammer, and you know the goal of the game, right? You try and tap one out just like this. And you hope that they all fall down, right? No, if they all fall down, you lose. You try and tap one out at a time, one out. So what happens if I grab the hammer and all of a sudden I just go, boom, 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 boom. It's all going to break and fall apart, right? And what, am I going to win? Am I going to win or am I going to lose? House up here looks better to you? You don't see those houses, do you? All right, Justin, next. There we go. Not too far. Which house looks safer to you? The one on the, why the right one? Oh, yeah. It's finished, the windows, but this is a house over here, too. Oh, so even though it looks like a house, it's not all the way finished because it doesn't have windows or a door. Okay, did you know there's a Bible verse in Proverbs chapter 20? There it is. 25 verse 8. Look at this Bible verse. It says this. A man that doesn't have self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. Hold on one second. You mean if we don't have self-control, that we look like that house? So self-control is very, very important. It's right. We don't want to live in that house. We also don't want to live without self-control. And that's the whole point here. So click on to the next one. Now, learning self-control is really hard, isn't it? Very hard. So here's what I said. Self-control is hard. It's something we have to learn, and here's what it causes us to do. We have to think before we act.
So we just had to draw our bounded cut on
the paper. So, right. You got to draw and then cut on the lines. So we've got to think before we act. Here's what my dad said, and my dad's even older than I am. He says, notion before motion. You got that, adults? Notion before motion. Think is notion. Think before you act. Let's talk about Jesus in pictures. So Jesus had three temptations from Satan. Remember these? The very first temptation, well, before we get to the temptations, Satan got Jesus out in the wilderness. The Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. Can you imagine not eating food for 4 days? How about 10 days? What would you be feeling like after that? You'd be so weak, you feel like you wouldn't even be able to stand up. How about 40 days? Jesus, no, you wouldn't actually. Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. Hold on. 40 days. You know what that means? He was really, really weak. Satan wants to tempt us when we're weak. That's when he comes for us. And so the first temptation, he wanted to turn the stone into something to eat, to bread. And Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone. He said, no. Wow. Don't you think Jesus really wanted some bread? Yeah. Couldn't Jesus turn a stone into bread? Yeah, he could have. He created the stone. So what did he have to use not to turn the stone into bread? It's a little word we call self-control. What about the next time that Satan took Jesus up onto the top of the temple and he said, you can have this, fall over and all your angels will catch you. It'll be wonderful and beautiful. But he didn't do it. He used self-control. Then he took him to the top of a mountain where he could see all of the beautiful city and the buildings and the people. And Satan said, you can have all of this if you bow down and worship me. Nope. And Jesus said, no. What did he use to make this possible? What did he use to say no to Satan? He used the little word called self-control. That's it. Self-control is very, very important. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about self-control a whole lot. God wants us to work to control ourselves. Can I give you some examples of when you need self-control? You ready for this one? When somebody picks on you and you want to hit them back, I think it would be good to use self-control. How about this one? If you have a brother or a sister, you choose to be mad at them. I'm not going to say they make you mad because no one makes you mad. You choose to be mad. And you want to just... What did I say? Notion before motion. What's that mean? Think before you act. So
and take a bath.
And take a break. Cool off. Cool off. Splash some water on your face. Think before you act so you don't yell back. Maybe you don't fight over a video game. You don't fight for the movie you want. Oh, who's ever had to sit at the dinner table and their mom pulled out dinner and you said this? No, you've probably never said this. Aww. I don't want that. No one's ever said that, right? Have you ever said that? Maybe when your mommy pulls out dinner, instead of just going, you stop and you say, thank you, Mom, for making some food. Maybe somebody gets you a gift, and you open up that gift, and you're like, oh, no, socks again. What do? Instead of saying, I don't like this gift, what do you think you could say?
Thank you for the gift,
but also thank you for thinking about me, because someone had to go and buy those gifts and give them to you. See, you stop before you act. You think before you act. Remember the phrase, notion before motion. Finishing some homework, if you ever have homework, bigger kids in the back row. Cleaning your room if your parents ask you to. How about just saying something nice to somebody else? What's our word we're talking about tonight?
Self-control.
Self-control. It's hard. You have to learn it. And it causes us to think before we act. And God says it's a fruit of the Spirit. I'll get to it in just a little bit. A fruit of the Spirit of self-control. You all have done a great job. Thank you. You can go back to your parents now. Adults, we're going to talk about self-control in a little bit in a few moments after we sing some songs. So I hope that has whetted your appetite just a little bit for what's soon to come. Ken, thanks.
If you would, please stand. 97.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
You may be seated. You would, Justin, switch to her move to number 111. Brooke's done a good job on that. I'm not going to follow him up back here. Imagine. After this, we'll have the opening prayer.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Praise God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within.
Shall we pray? Our loving and kind Heavenly Father, we want to honor Thee. We want to praise Thee. We want to thank Thee for what Thou has done for us and mankind. Thankful for Jesus, what some 2,000 years ago that thou sent him to this earth, and he born of the Virgin Mary, and then walked among men and did so many wonderful things for mankind. And then later he was willing to go to the cross and purchase a church with his blood, and especially that the church here, we are thankful that we are, as a group of Christian friends and family, that we are able to worship thee without having a fear from outside people. We are thankful for Heavenly Father, for our elders, for their choosing to become elders. Thankful for their wives that they letting our elders serve. Please bless our elders that they, when they make decision, that it will be pleasing thy sight. Thankful for our deacons, and we have several. Thankful for the work that they've been chosen to do. Please help them to do their job like thou would have them to do. We are thankful for our visitors, and we have, even this evening, we have several. Thankful for that they chose to come our way, and maybe we as a congregation will reach out to them, and then soon they'll want to become members here at Florence Boulevard. Please bless the sick. We have many here at Florence Boulevard that are not able to be here. But please especially, we want to pray for Gene McDaniel. He's very low, possibly still in the hospital. Hopefully, by now he's able to eat solid food more and be able to drink liquids. Please be with the family as they stand beside him. Please bless others that are having health issues. We are thankful for these young people that we witnessed just a few minutes ago, the eagerness they have of wanting to learn more about thy word. Thankful for Austin and his ability to teach them on their level. Thankful for all our young people here at Florence Boulevard for the influence that they have on us. We are thankful for our young mothers. Please bless them that they can continue to bring their children here where the children can learn about thee and thy son, and that as they grow up, maybe they will become Christians. Please be also, Heavenly Father, we want to pray for those mothers we have here that are expecting a child or children. Please bless them that they can care the babies full time, and when the baby gets here, they'll be healthy, and the mothers will regain their health. Please continue now thy blessings upon Austin as he delivers the message shortly. May he remember those things that he has prepared for our hearing, and help each of us to listen attentively and try to grasp something in what he teaches. Please continue thy blessings upon us now as we enter into the worship service. May what is said and done will be pleasing thy sight. Please forgive us and help us always put our trust in thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Number 452, if you would please stand once again. Following this song, we'll remain standing for the scripture reading. Number 452.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
The reading this afternoon is taken from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires.
Self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. I find it interesting that God, through the inspiration of the Spirit, Lisa, it's good to see you, by the way. I know you're happy to be out. Man, so many people. I saw Larry this morning. Larry's back again. Just wanted to say a couple things about folks. You're missed big time. I know you miss being here. So our folks who are at home, online, watching because you have to, listen, we love you, we miss you, and we know you miss being here too. For those who haven't chosen to be back with us, I encourage you, do it. And if you haven't visited with us before, I don't say this often to our online friends, come see us in person. I think and I believe we're very loving people. A fruit of the Spirit, you see it behind me. You know, I find it interesting that God didn't call it a dessert of the Spirit, because if he did, everybody would grab them. But it's a fruit, so sometimes they're left untouched. That's not why God did it. The word behind it means result or yield or crop. It's the result of somebody who is of the Spirit, having the Spirit, been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, receiving the gift of the Spirit. And one of the results of being somebody who is spiritual, Spirit-fed, Spirit-led, it results in these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Talk about a bad joke. Other than all the ones that I ever say, Brianne's baby doctor set her up for her sugar test, which means she has to get tested to see what her sugar levels are for the baby tomorrow. The Monday after Thanksgiving, that's a terrible, terrible thing. I thought about this because when this appointment was established, she came and she said, "Are you kidding me? I'm going to have to control myself now." I mean, that's not a shot at my wife at all. I'm just saying, like, that's tough. I'm sorry, sweetheart. That's tough at Thanksgiving because the spread is deep and wide as we sing. And sometimes after Thanksgiving, so are we. So it is tough to control ourselves. I was reading several people in reference to Galatians 5 and being people of self-control, spiritual people, theologians at times. Not that I believe everything a theologian says, but they were describing this text. And they were talking about Christians and how disciplining self might be one of the most challenging commands that God has given to his people. To be someone who is in control of self. Not that we have control, we let God do that, but we gain some self-control over our habits, over our actions, maybe even better, over our reactions. Self-control. Look at these texts with me and see what the scriptures say about it. We have a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, according to Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. The utter and supreme example of self-control. I like to say that Jesus has not only faced every temptation we faced, he's also faced temptations we could not ever face. You know what temptation we could never face? Living a perfect life and having to continue it. We don't know what that's like. Have you ever tried to create a habit and you make it 3 days, 6 weeks, 9 months? It almost builds and builds with challenges and temptations to let it die. And then sometimes the pressure becomes too much. Then it does. Jesus faced every temptation we have. And even those we couldn't face. That is the supreme example of self-control, Hebrews 4:15. What about 1 Peter 3:13 to 16? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but now that you've heard the gospel, you've become obedient to the gospel, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Why? How? How do we do that? Self-control. Sometimes it's not natural or easy for us to resist temptation and live holy lives. It requires self-control. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about, I think the King James Version says, seeking whom he may devour. So we must be people of self-control. We've been called to it. Jesus lived the example of it. And Satan is waiting to grasp and to snatch people who don't have it. And the end of all things is near, 1 Peter 4, 7 says. And therefore be of sound mind, be self-controlled and sober in prayer. Part of the way we become a more self-controlled people is we become a people of prayer. We add all of these things together and it comes up to something like this. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Notice, this is the building and the maturation of the Christian. Faith with virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge with self-control. There it is. And so you're wondering, how do I gain self-control? This becomes a nice equation on how I can start to get there. Well, be a person of faith, virtue, loving good, doing good, being about good things. And not just good things, even though Jesus did go about doing good things. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that's a description of Jesus. Going about doing good. We need to do good, right? Yes. But it's not just about doing good. There will be a lot of good people who aren't in heaven. Good people will possibly be in hell. It's not enough to be good. It's to be a child of the one who is good. Now, with goodness comes knowledge. Knowledge is our understanding of the word. It's being filled with God's will that we read about through the scriptures, because they're able to provide us with all things of godliness and righteousness and love, bringing us to a mature faith. But knowledge isn't just good enough, because you can be the smartest person in the world. You can memorize the text in multiple languages. But if you have not self-control, you won't have the ability to carry out the knowledge, even if the goodness is there in your heart. And so God is calling his people to be self-controlled and steadfast, which means we do not waver from it. We're not in and then out the hokey-pokey Christian life. I'm controlled sometimes. I'm out of control at other times. A preacher was talking about a major business owner. He lived his days working with a mass amount of employees under his control. And every day for hours on end, he would bark out instructions and give orders and make sure that his business was run in an efficient and successful way under his thumb. And that control did something to him. And the preacher goes on to describe the son. You see, the preacher knew the son. And the son would say how miserable his child was for years, because the father came home late, tired, from an environment where he was in extreme and utter control, and then he tried to run his house in that exact same way. And the house, there was some kickback. You couldn't fire people at the house. So there was some kickback, some blowback, and things got tough. Things got tense for a little while. And so the father, this business leader and this Christian, decided to turn to the bottle, as we might say, and started drinking. And his control and his anger grew worse and worse, because what worked in business may not work in the home. And it may not have necessarily worked in business. It just looked successful. And so the son finally, through counsel of the preacher, said, you've got to go tell the father and be honest with him. So he spoke to his father and he told him the truth. His view of his father from the view of the son. Dad didn't like it. Got up angry and upset. But that night, the father couldn't go to sleep. Stayed up thinking about it. The next day, woke up sober. Literally and metaphorically. decided it was time to change. So he went to the preacher and he said, I can't do this without God. I've got to gain control of my parenting, of my anger, of my addictions. See, sometimes we lose control as we go from one environment to another. Maybe some environments you find yourself in on day-to-day living causes you to be one way. And then when you shift environments, it's hard for you to let go. Maybe even in shifting environments, it's not just that you're letting go, but you're looking at a way to numb whatever else you felt in the previous environment. And so you turn to poor solutions. And you grow addictions that become the deterioration of your life. Self-control is vital to every child of God. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness leads to godliness, to brotherly affection and love. Did you know that if you don't have these qualities and you're not growing in them, the Bible says you're ineffective and you are unfruitful? But if these are yours and increasing, the Bible says, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I want to put this on you. I think self-control has a lot to do with emotion. Now, you know me. I'm a very emotional guy. There are some in this room who are very unemotional. The beauty of this is that each one of us need to work now and every day moving forward on strengthening our weak areas and refining and enhancing our good areas. So if you're somebody who is, you need extreme control of environments, you got to work to let go. If you're somebody who's overly emotional, always being led by your emotions, you need to work to think a little bit. Remember what I said to the kids? What comes before motion? Notion before motion. As a matter of fact, I think all of life must be filtered from head, heart, action. Notion into motion. Even notion before emotion. You might feel something, but can I tell you this? I don't think there is a single feeling or emotion that God has given to us that you can trust. Not a one. Isn't that what this all boils down to with self-control, is emotion? What feeling can you trust? Think about it. You think about it. I ran this test. First off, this started because of what Ben Hayes does at Mars Hill with elementary school kids. He teaches them that emotions are not good or bad. They are just emotions. They are neutral by nature. And therefore, we need to put them where they need to be. In control. They don't control you. You control them. I would also take it one step further. I did it with my seventh grade class, and it drove them crazy. I said, you give me an emotion that you can trust. They said, joy. I said, joy. Interesting choice with joy. Maybe you were joyous because you met a new person, right? They're like, yeah, that's it. And it was good, and it was easy. We were happy. And later that person actually shows their true colors, and they burn you. So can you trust the joy? Just because something is joyous, does it automatically mean that thing, that event, that happening is a good thing? No. You list any emotion, whether positive or negative, and I would almost guarantee you I can show you why that emotion is not trustworthy. Can't be. Maybe you, in excitement of a picture, plan a vacation. Come to find out the vacation is not what it was all cracked up to be. And the place, with such anticipation, didn't turn out. Maybe, how about this one? You go to the grocery store. You skipped lunch. You woke up, didn't eat breakfast. Worked all day, skipped lunch. Then you go to the grocery store. You and I both know what's going to happen at the grocery store. If you're anything like me, you're walking down the aisles like this. You're shoving it all in. You get home, you're like, why in the world did I buy this? Because you were really hungry. Therefore, you could not trust your choices that you made. Because when you're overly hungry, you'll grasp for anything. I'm not going to eat those ramen noodles. They're just going to sit for 12 years.
and not expire. I don't think you can trust emotions. Now, here's what I want to say about emotions. How do we learn to deal with them? There's a pretty little verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And I know it talks about spirits. But notice what the text says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, test the spirits. Look at it. It needs to be a filter for your life. And I'm going to use it to be a filter for our emotions, especially as we have this conversation. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, we can dissect this text to see what it means, because verse 2 talks about, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. It goes on to talk about the spirit of the Antichrist and all these things. Back then, when people were possessed by demons and people were actually led to speak by inspiration of the Spirit, that was one part of the conversation they absolutely had to have. Who do we trust? John, who can we trust? Because people are saying they're speaking by the Spirit. Well, here's the way to trust who speaks from the Spirit of God. And that was the filter for them. Now, we don't have, I believe, people who are led by the Spirit or demon-possessed. I think the principle from this verse can be a spiritual filter for our emotions to lead us to self-control. How do I test to see if this emotion is good, bad, or anything else in between? This little s spirit, this feeling that I might have, this thought I might have, I believe we need to put it to the test and see what God would have us to do with them. Now, with emotions. By learning that we can't trust them, what I'm not saying is to suppress your emotions. What I'm not saying is to regret your emotions. What I'm not saying is to work so that you become unemotional. But rather test and use them appropriately. You know, Jesus was the mastermind of emotions. When he had rage and anger, it was righteous and just and godly. But when we at times have rage and anger, it's not. You see, he's the mastermind of emotions. He knows when, where, and how. Now, we've got to work harder because we are people of the flesh without that divine moving Spirit of God within us. Now, Jesus had stuff that we don't have. So how do we go about doing this? I believe self-control can be boiled down to pausing one's emotions in day-to-day situations so you can run them through this spiritual self-control filter, testing and figuring out what God expects of you in any and every situation you find yourself. I don't know if you know the name Billy Graham. He had a daughter. I don't know what her full name is. She goes by the name Gigi. And she wrote about a story. Growing up as Billy Graham's daughter, this world-renowned preacher. She writes about one of those days she wishes she could wipe off the calendar. It all started with an experience some of you have had. It was flood damage to their house. The carpet men came, but they were late. And they were there replacing the water-ruined carpet. And she was trying hard to do some cleaning up of the mess. And she overdid it. So by supper time, she was totally exhausted. She got the kids into the car, headed for McDonald's. She stopped at the bank while her husband ran in. She was double-parked. She glanced in her rearview mirror and saw a large, older model car pull up behind her. And it was driven by an older woman, as she writes, with flaming red hair. So I started to blast my horn. So she started to blast her horn. And here's what Gigi, formerly Graham, said what happened. I don't know what possessed me. But after my whirlwind day, this was the last straw. I decided I would not move my car. And so the woman behind me gave me another long, loud blast, which just reinforced my stubborn refusal to budge my vehicle, which was double parked. at the bank between there and McDonald's. So I motioned for her to pass me. As angry as she was, she managed to maneuver that big old model car around me, pull it right up beside me, lowering her window, and began to yell at me. And so I blew her a kiss. That did it. The woman screamed. She stuck her tongue out at me. By this time, the woman was out of her car, threatening me, calling me names, attracting the attention of people passing by. And it was then I wanted to crawl into a hole. The red-headed grandmother returned to her car. My husband appeared, wondering what all the commotion was all about. We continued on to McDonald's, but I was too distraught to eat. I didn't sleep well for several nights, for I felt so unchristlike. I wished I could go find the woman and apologize. You see, I let my tiredness, my anxiety, drown out the gentle voice of God and allow my stubborn human nature to take control. The fruit of the Spirit, the child of God who is led by and represents the Spirit himself. The point is, it happens to the best of us at times. We lose a sense of awareness that we are Christians and that we're supposed to be different from the world by demonstrating the power of self-control, which is superior to what some natural man might be thinking or doing. And as Christians, we are under constant attack without self-control, which is always at the risk. We're always at the risk of blowing it and demonstrating to the world how far from an unfinished product that we really are. And so I urge you tonight to heed the words that of Paul in Galatians 5, Peter in 1 Peter, the Hebrew writer who posed Jesus as the ultimate example of self-control, and being mindful that all things are coming to an end, and therefore I gain this fruit of the Spirit. And I hope we all work at that. I'm going to pray for us and then offer the invitation. My suspicion is we all need work in this area because each one of us falls short of Jesus in Hebrews 4:15. So pray with me. Holy Father, I don't think it is because of a lack of desire that we are out of control sometimes. It's true and it's real that we are tossed to and fro by cunning waves and winds of crafty spirits and speakers and people and emotions. I pray, Father, that we will work to be more self-controlled, that we will test every emotion, every feeling through the filter of your will, your wisdom, and the discernment that you can provide. And I pray and beg that for each one of us, that we would rise up, we would step up to the plate of self-control and be people of the Spirit, not the other things that Paul lists in Galatians 5, that your Spirit inspired him to write, things like greed and jealousy and anger and wrath and lust and all of those cravings of the flesh. God, I pray we reject it, we flee from it, and we pursue the life of Christ, that we, Christians, born again through the blood of Jesus, bought and changed, will live changed lives. So forgive us of our lack of self-control, that sin. Build us up to be better. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you need special prayer or special help, or you want to become a Christian tonight, seeing and acknowledging Jesus as Lord, you can make that confession, repent of your sins, be immersed into the waters of baptism, and rise, as Paul says, to walk in newness of life. And the Lord will add you to his church, as we read about in Acts. So if you need that or anything else, let us know. Let's stand up and sing together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can
standing. If you have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, you can be exit to the back in the room, and you will be served. I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Also, remember the attendance cards. For those who are visiting, please fill out a card and pass it to the aisle. And for those members that have a need, a prayer request, or some other need, you can put that on the card as well, and the elders will look at that. So thank you very much for everybody being here today. Hope that you have a good week, and the Lord willing, we'll return Wednesday at 6:30. Number 903. Wait a minute. Number 778. Forgot to flip the page. Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loss of my Maker. I need thy strength to lead myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then
survived another Thanksgiving Day. It was given to us by the government, Abraham Lincoln, I believe. But I want to remind you that every day, especially every Sunday, is Thanksgiving Day. So let's acknowledge him as we depart with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are always so thankful for your mercy, the righteous spirit you have created as this planet, the universe, that we, your people, that are called by your name, have assembled here today. And we others also are worshiping with us by the electronic screening, and we know that they also want to worship along with us, and we pray for your love and care for them as well as for us. We thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray, for suffering his death in our place and offering salvation and eternal life for us to be with you. And we who are the saved already have been blessed with eternal life, and our bodies house your eternal spirit and your Holy Spirit. We know that sometimes we also yield to the evil spirit, and we sin. And we ask and we pray for forgiveness for those sins, for we are guilty of the things we should not do, and also for the failure to do things that we do should do. And we do pray for self-control. We do need to think before we act, and Austin said that we need the motion before the notion before motion. And I pray, Father, that we will remember these words, that we will be have some self-control as we are surrounded with temptations that could cause us to weaken or destroy our faith and our trust in you. And sometimes it's the great food that we have at Thanksgiving that can be part of that temptation. We have many problems in this world, and tornadoes and pandemics, floods, fires, and earthquakes like we've had in Haiti. And we pray, Father, for all the challenges that we're going to have to face, and government trampling on our freedoms, and this cancel culture, and all the ways that we could be weakened. So we ask that you'll strengthen our faith and our obedience to you. Especially, we pray for our young people and for the children that have been talked to today about self-control. And we pray that we will all have the same kind of courage that the saints who've gone before us, who, no matter what comes, whether we're martyred or burned or beheaded or drowned or imprisoned, we will continue to stand for that faith, because we know heaven awaits. And we know that the prince of the power of the air, Satan, is always there tempting us. And we want to live our lives like Daniel or David, who trusted you with their lives. And we will live like Peter wrote, casting our care on you because you care for us. And we make that our motto. We know that there is no fear in love. And we ask that we can live trusting with you with no fear, and that everybody can see Christ in us. And in the final judgment, even Satan will know that we are yours. And not only self-control, but that we might place our days under your control. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen.
Thank you for the prayer.
I believe some of these things are on my mind all the time, you know? Especially with the government control. I'm afraid of this. They're going to ship me off to one of these concentration camps one of these days, because I ain't going to yield to that government.